Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love, undivided.
Welcome back. You either go to church. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, June 8th, 2022, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network, of course. So again, just to, as a reminder, I will be a guest on Implant Site with Jeremy from Kentucky. This evening, that's the plan anyway, and it's going to be a couple hours apparently. That'll be fun. So I expect that to be really interesting. I think it's becoming more and more sort of self-evident. I keep reminding folks of Charles Baudelaire's words, you know, the finest trick of the devil is persuading you that he does not or did not exist. And that's just sort of fading. You know, that's the wizard behind the curtain who doesn't want to be recognized. By the way, just as a side note, sort of tangent, we're all generally familiar with the 1939 production of The Wizard of Oz. And why is that? That's something that we should all ask ourselves, since everyone's horrified by it. We've had conversations about that movie and L. Frank Baum's novel in the past, but how many people are familiar with the 1925 production, which was equally as creepy and more sort of overtly and obviously weird and esoteric, I would say. TCM just aired that recently. I think the wizard behind the curtain is being exposed. And I think people are seeing, I think that folks like folks like Noel Mehring in particular are doing a good job of peeling back the veneer of the utopian message that, you know, despite all its Marxist proselytizing, always seems to result in a dystopia. It's so fascinating to hear the conversation about, you know, this or that hasn't been tried, right? It just hasn't been tried. And the problem is, it's always man that screws it up. You know, I mean, there's a strong argument to say that, you know, communism makes sense. That's why it's so beguiling and alluring. It just, you know, you look at communism, to me, is a religious bent that is a counterfeit of Acts 2, the Pentecostal moment. And that's what it advocates, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. Well, gosh, Chris, isn't that what was happening in Acts chapter 2? Maybe. I mean, we could sort of make that, you know, we could sort of equate one to the other. However, the question is who decides, and that's where context comes in. And that's critically important. And the devil is masterful at leaving out or misrepresenting context, which gets back to the conversation that Jeremy and I had last Wednesday. And, you know, the broader context that sort of pulls in. You could say, I think, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, forward to today, so to speak. So I think that's fascinating, particularly in the context of what is happening, you know, in current events and so forth. As we see, I think, you know, the World Revolutionary Movement thing that a lot of authors talked about 100 years ago that no one's heard of in the last two or three generations for sure, as that sort of kicks into high gear, it seems. But like I said, the veneer, you know, you listen to someone like Noel Mehring, and she does, I think, a masterful job. She has a masterful command of the subject matter, I think, and the who's who in the zoo and where it's really coming from. And she says the same thing that I've said, which is really, if you're going to get to the bottom of it, you want to get back to the beginning of this messaging, it's back to the garden. It's a very beguiling and seductive message, to be sure. You know, it appeals to the most base and darkest recesses of mankind. You know, this idea that you know, we can be self-determining and we can be as gods. I mean, that's, you know, that was the whisper in the garden. So I, you know, I've mentioned before, just final point on this, I had a friend years and years ago about almost 20 years ago now, going on 15 plus or so years ago, you know, I mentioned this recently, called me late one evening. I was surprised to hear from him. He said, "Chris, I think communism is a religion. What do you think?" So we've talked about it ever since, but I would say it's precisely the satanic counterfeiting of the Pentecostal moment of Acts chapter 2, like I said, to the unobserved, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs, looks and sounds an awful lot like Acts chapter 2. You know, and the question arises, you know, how can that kind of altruism not result in utopian paradise and the perfectibility of man, as the, you know, Illuminized contingent would have us believe, and the cultural Marxists for that matter. That's what they're saying. You know, we can perfect man by plunging him into utter depravity, to paraphrase Adorno and Marcuse and Horkheimer and et al. So, you know, the godless essentially ask that question. And what I mean by godless is, you know, the person who is not leaning into the Holy Spirit and, you know, essentially echoing the serpent in the garden. The rhetorical question is always and remains, who decides? Who decides? And, you know, the myth, and one of the reasons the deception works so well is because the myth is man can decide for himself, but like the Bible says, you're either a slave to sin or a slave to Christ. So, you know, this conversation with this friend, you know, I basically said, as we know, there's nothing and no one good apart from him, capital H. And the devil has always been masterful at seducing mankind into believing in the ostensible perfection and utopia of self-aggrandizement. Again, ye shall become as gods, the devil says. So, you know, Marx is the primary ecumenical lightning rod of evangelical outreach, proselytizing this counterfeit gospel, so to speak, to a beguiled and misguided world. And the Copernican Revolution, or again, the World Revolutionary Movement, and its symbol of Ouroboros turns. So, not to belabor the issue, to finish that point, you know, our defense, just so we're clear on this broadcast, I would say the only defense is, you know, the defense that has been mounted has been almost exclusively a process of red herring, straw men, logical fallacies, and categorical errors, all directed by you-know-who, you know, the same one directing the deception. And so, you know, the best way to lead the opposition, or the best way to control the opposition, is to lead it or start it. And like Ezra Pound wisely observed, the technique of infamy is inventing two lies and getting you arguing heatedly over which one of them is true. The one true defense is Ephesians chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's it in a nutshell. And so what does that have to do with this web stuff? Well, again, as I've said before, you know, the danger, you see Peter at the Mount of Transfiguration saying, should we build, you know, should we make a big production out of this and, you know, build a building and make a thing? And he was rebuked by Jesus. And so it's easy for us to want to sort of institutionalize things that maybe we ought not. I'm not suggesting that that should be the case with the, you know, redevelopment of the Republic Broadcasting web presence. What I'm trying to say here specifically is, in my humble estimation and based on my worldview, you can't, the same way you can't out Machiavelli, the same way you can't beat the devil at his own game, no one is better at getting the message of the good news to everyone in real time than the Holy Spirit. That's my position on that. And so I don't want to usurp that. But is there something that we can do to help inform people in a succinct fashion, but also maybe, you know, connect some dots and tie some things together? And obviously language is instrumental in all of this. Again, Noel Meering has done a wonderful job of pointing that out. And there's, you know, she does a good job of touching on the high points of that. And there's obviously so much more that can be said. I mean, I've talked about how Toynbee mentioned that, and others. Linguistic sophistry is paramount in deception. And again, that ties back to the Bible and the you know, lies the devil has perpetrated. And, you know, again, the conversation with Jeremy from Kentucky last Wednesday particularly, and continuing this evening, I'm sure. You know, so language is important, but is there a way that we can sort of curate the subject matter in a you know, a group setting where we're not falling victim to the Mencken cliche of the collective wisdom of individual ignorance, but we're actually doing something that's thoughtful and intelligent, informative and helpful for others? And, you know, because we have many hands, you know, it makes light work of the task. I think that it's possible, and I hope that we can do that, and I look forward to exploring that. So there's that, probably 5 minutes that, you know, took an hour. Hopefully that makes sense. We got to get into the COVID stuff. First to the phones, Glenn in Pennsylvania. Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chris. Hi. I heard you. You were talking before about communism and socialism and stuff like that, and then comparisons to Acts 2. And you know, I had stumbled upon that, you know, of course, many years ago. It's like, wait a minute, this is like a commune. You know, look at the history of communes in America, like Oneida and Amana and stuff like that. You know, they're usually came to poor ends, but we see
guys
this,
like Robert Owen and so on and so on. Yeah. Fourier.
We see this communal living in Acts 2, you know, the early church in Jerusalem, yeah. And yeah. We see Stephen, you know, and then there had been complaints of inequities, and so we see Stephen as, you know, pointed as the first, I guess what we would call a deacon, you know, the diaconate, you know, the leader who, you know, oversaw this kind of thing. And But one thing I was thinking, one big difference about that as a community, it should have stood a better chance of success, because you were talking about a group of people who were already aware of their sin nature and in repentance toward God and aware of the disposal of God and their neighbors themselves. So, you know, this is not necessarily, the worldview or value system of the world at large. And yeah. Consequently, like a communal system, you know, requires things like, virtue, religion, and what else?
Morality.
Yeah, that too. So
imagine that.
Yeah, so it's, you know, and I mean, we have, what was it, Adams, you know, saying that our constitutional republic isn't fit for a people who are
it
not
is
conscious.
Wholly of inadequate, he said.
Right.
Wholly
and
inadequate.
So if a constitutional republic is wholly inadequate in the face of such selfishness,
yeah,
how much less does a communal
right.
system stand a chance if the people
absolutely.
Do not have these sensibilities?
Great point.
Yeah, so that
definitely.
Couldn't help thinking of that. And now I guess historically we don't really know how well that communal setting. I mean, they were worshiping God and praying and breaking bread in each other's houses. You know, it was a very, yeah. you know, community oriented thing. We don't know how well that held together over time, but we see that community is always a difficult problem, even for those things who, you know, understand and espouse the correct values, you know, the love of God and neighbor. It's a hard thing for us to do, and, you know, loving our God, our neighbor, our enemies, you know, this is a constant struggle because, we're sinful, and our houses tend to end up being divided against themselves. And I see this, too, like in everybody always seems to be trying to pin the tail on the donkey when it comes to the locus of control of evil in the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, it's the communists. No, it's the Vatican. It's the Jews. It's the, you know, we all know the drill.
Right.
You know, and for me, it's like, it's always just the blackness of the human heart. And, you know, a house divided against itself cannot stand. We have always have, you know, one group of evildoers betraying another group of evildoers. And we even see, even to the point that we even see God using more wicked nations to judge less wicked nations.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, when we see, I mean, that's essentially what happened when Babylon, you know, took over. I mean, it was so, you know, so wicked that tradition, it's not in the Bible, but says that King Manasseh had Isaiah sawn in half. That is how he was put to death. I mean, that, mm-hmm. and again, that's mm-hmm. traditional history. But,
yeah.
Or we have, you know, so if it's not the Babylonians, it's the Romans, you know, the Greeks. I guess a God has his way of controlling, you know, these divided houses.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And using him for their purposes. Yeah.
And I think,
but anyway,
you know, again,
so.
the thing that really kind of rises to the top of the discussion in my mind is, you know, it's easy to sound like, I don't know, some religious zealot / conspiracy nut, but really, again, you know, how else do you explain things like generational evil, which obviously are happening? You know, I mean, even with just the so-called plagues that we've suffered, there are a lot of curious coincidences, and people, you know, the same people who were instrumental in sort of instigating that, say, around the turn of the 20th century, are not around any longer. But the same efforts are being made. So how do you explain that? And
right. Something's,
you know,
keeping something that is not mortal. Seems like somebody who isn't dying off generationally is keeping the fire.
Exactly. Still. Exactly. You know, I mean, if not that, then how else you explain these things? The thread that continues this on. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Glenn, I think it would be interesting for maybe you and I in particular to do I don't know, have a conversation about that at some point. Just, you know, going back in history, perhaps to the, I don't know, 18th century, maybe before, and talking about before some of these guys. What's that?
Finney and Wigglesworth or Whitehead and some of those right. guys.
Right. Yeah. You know,
yeah, they,
Rousseau.
Fascinating time. And it like predates the Civil War by half a century, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. and yet we see all, you know, this begs the question for me. I was going to mention the question of religious revivals and, you know, this concept of revival. And it seems like America's, you know, presently in the valley of decision as to whether it wants to be Sodom and Gomorrah or it wants to be a repentant Nineveh a la mm-hmm. the time of Jonah.
Yeah.
You know, and without that, you know, maybe God needs to send a prophet to say in 40 days, you know, America.
Since 2008, I've been saying Jonah's gospel, yet 40 days and America will be overthrown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what was fascinating about that is he started at the edge of the city, and it was like a three-day walk into the center.
Yeah.
Nineveh was a huge cultural center, economic center. And
Bible
by the
says
time,
he,
you know,
he made it a day's journey, which means that whether a full third or not, at best it was a third, according to third. The way I read that, through the city,
right.
and somehow word gets back to the king, and the city repents from top down, so to speak.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at, you know. And I always think about, like, okay, so when we look at the people decrying the locuses of the loci of authority, you know, they always have these, you know, we talk about, like, the communists or the Jews or the Vatican or the royalty.
Yeah.
That these groups are always, and they're always pictured as these huge cohesive entities with, like, amazingly complex deceptive plans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
With Christianity, we look at this question of revivals, awakenings, and great awakenings, and second great awakenings, and all this sort of stuff. But I find that the necessity of the use of the term revival to be lamentable. Because what do you revive? You revive something that is dying, to revive, to make alive again.
Yeah.
So the question in my mind is, why is the church always dying?
Right.
You've got all these
or,
you know,
maybe in Christian fashion, maybe the question is, has it actually died yet? And, then there's the... So it has to die to be resurrected, so to speak, but then there's the counterfeit of that, speaking of the cultural Marxists, you know, and the perversion of the concept. Anyway.
Yeah. This idea of apostasy, you know, like the communists, they're secretly burgeoning, you know, and gaining control of everything and colonizing the world and industrializing Africa and doing this. And, you know, or it's always this, like, huge, strapping, strong, healthy, secretive, you know, entity that's taking everything over. And then meanwhile, the church, with the truth of Christ, is like dying and needs CPR all the time to keep it on its feet.
Which is precisely the opposite of what it should be. And
Jesus said, "Occupy until I come."
Yeah,
kind of hard to occupy if you can't stand it.
So, of that is because of the perception that has been foisted upon folks and, you know, in turn sort of internalized by folks? I had a conversation with a friend recently about this, and I think it's, you know, if people could step back and see, you know, again, if we ask ourselves all the time, but have I done all that I can do? I think we will see how painfully obvious it is that, you know, we put ourselves in these mental prisons far too often.
I think a more appropriate question might be, have I done much of anything?
I completely agree. Yep. That's convicting. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
We'll be right back. Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special.
Welcome back.
I want to have control.
Oh, goodness sakes. That is the question. I agree. Have I done all I can do? You say, I think a better question might be, have I done much of anything? That's that's the sad reality. You know, and this is America, land of the free, home of the brave. Have I done much of anything? You know, have I done much of anything that didn't require the, you know, the mob? And I think the pejorative of the woke mob applies more broadly than to the so-called progressive, so-called, you know, basically the cultural Marxist contingent. I think, as I've mentioned, Kool-Aid comes in a variety of flavors, and I think the woke mob is a term that could be used much more broadly.
Oh, Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, then it seems like to pin it on. I just think it's sort of folly to always be trying to find the central core authority group in all this.
Yeah.
It's all basically the sin and the blackness of the human heart. And
that is exploited, by the way, by that that common thread throughout history that seeks to convince us that he doesn't exist. So anyway,
right. I'm thinking of one movie. I don't remember what it was, but where this one person asked another, about talking about a powerful evil man. And it's like, well, what do they want? And woman says, what do men with power want? Always want more power.
Right.
I mean, right back to Satan in heaven. Set his throne above the Most High.
Yeah, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28.
Yep, very good. Thank you.
Sir.
I'm aware of one pastor. Pastor used to pastor a church I attended in college, and a very lively, vivacious, gregarious person who loved God and his neighbor and was great, great preacher, I, having followed his career somewhat, he ended up moving around to various churches, and it seemed that he was always frustrated trying to get his parishioners to be evangelical or evangelistic and to share the gospel. It was always, you can go out there and take a small church and build it up and get your, get yourself up to the 400 or 500, parishioners level and stuff like that, and have good tithes and offerings and establish essentially a middle class, a healthy middle class church. If we want, you can try and get it to be buy yourself a stadium somewhere or a convention center, a defunct convention center, and build yourself a super church. But he was frustrated by seeming to be able to motivate the emerging middle class church, but predominantly white, let's face it, and get them to become unified and vocal in the spreading of the word, and he ended up kind of leaving the middle class environment and ending up working on a domestic missions kind of thing with the immigrants and that sort of thing. Basically because it's so hard to motivate the American middle class church, once we attain our comfort zone.
Complacency
sets in, and that's very much an issue. Other point I was going to make on the various movements and world ruling ideologies. Have you noticed that of late we've not been hearing as much about militant Islamic terrorism?
Yeah. I mean, how everything is compartmentalized. It's COVID. No, wait. It's an epidemic of mass shootings. No, wait. Yeah.
Right.
No, that's been tabled for now. We have these other invisible boogeymen that we have to, it's each episode. Rolled out.
There was a time about 20 years ago where I remember thinking to myself, whatever happened to China? It's like China doesn't exist. We were busy buying everything from China, but you never heard about China in the news.
Right. The CCP specifically, absolutely.
We're fed, our fear porn masters feed us different things.
I think the operative term is episode, and strategy of tension episode for sure, but also in the broader landscape, like you're talking about, it's like what's his name, producer who wrote all of the late night dramas back in the 80s, the heck was his name, has the daughter, what's her name? Not Zimbalist, but
you're talking about Law and Order.
No,
I know who you're talking about. Something Production. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, so wasn't it two names? So-and-so, such-and-such production, and the daughter somehow ended up in the news, too. After I'm off the call, it'll pop into my head.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Are you including detective dramas and stuff like that, too?
No, not really.
No, okay. Okay.
Gosh, what the heck is his
name? Okay, I might be thinking of somebody else, then. But anyway, sorry, it'll pop into my head after we're done.
Me too. I'll get it in 2 seconds here. heck is her name? They're all terrible actors, but Tori Spelling's dad, I think, is one of the people that I'm thinking of.
It's Spelling Goldberg or something.
But not just him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, you're so awfully close. Yeah.
Aaron Spelling is one of
them. Aaron Spelling,
The other guy is, what the heck is his name? Can't think of his name. Anyway, so, the guys that wrote all of those, shows in the 80s, basically, how they were just kind of cheap, cookie cutter little stories, or actually we could go back to, the Batman television show. Tune in next time to see. That's what we're getting with all of these, like you said, what happened to China? Today it's COVID. Tomorrow it's, an epidemic of mass shootings, and then we're back to COVID, and then we're over to China, and then we're hashtag we stand with Ukraine, and then that's what it is. Tune in next week to see. It's cheap, cheesy television. It would be satirical if it wasn't actually, unfolding in real life and being used to inert people generally. So you said, I use the term complacency, white middle class America, thinking, hey, middle class is great. Let's not change anything. Don't disrupt anything. It's good. Reminds me of the story of the wedding party, Jesus and the wedding party in Matthew 22.
Right.
And I think that's the one I'm thinking of, where, the king invited some people to the feast, and, the who's who kind of, hey, we're having a party, wedding party, be great if you guys could show up. And everybody's like, you know what, really kind of busy right now. So the king says, go invite basically the dregs of society to the party. Anybody who, just scatter the invitations to the winds, basically, and let those who are excited to attend, let them attend.
Right. Wow.
And then the wedding feast takes place, and all those so-called important folks are like, wait, can we? I think I changed my mind. I'm not, my schedule just freed up. No, a little late.
Well, and even more intimidating, there's that, and then there's the parable of the virgins on top of it, and the parable of the sower. And it's like, wow, there's definitely a call to be attentive and serious and remaining
sober-minded,
being ready. And that also. I'm Leonard Goldberg is the other name I'm getting for Spelling and Goldberg. Yeah,
I'm not thinking him, but for sure. Okay. Zimbalist is one, not him. Not Stephen J. Cannell. He's another one that did all that stuff.
Yeah,
not him.
A-Team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Airwolf and A-Team and all that. Yeah, and that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm not going to get anything more than that this time around.
A jaunt down memory lane. Anyway, the point for those listening, probably, you know, some of the younger people are like, what are they talking about? But I think, you know, the point, though, was it's that kind of television that we're seeing in at places like CNN. It's just, it's absurd. You know, like you said, I mean, I thought this was important. And how can we switch in a day? And I mean, you know, the COVID antics, shenanigans, I think, is makes it painfully obvious when you have PR agencies issuing press releases en masse that say, okay, you know, the COVID social engineering effect, the impact it has in terms of social engineering has waned. So we can shift away now and say that, you know, we've emerged from the pandemic for the moment anyway. Wait, monkeypox, not so fast.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, that just seems like it's not going to flow too well, you know.
You What's know? That?
It just seems like that's not going to flow too well.
Well,
just a second.
It's amazing what people. Yeah. It's amazing what people will believe.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, and they. Right now, it seems like okay. Everybody's fixating on things like we had. Well, for the other, you know, weeks ago, it was like the, you know, hundreds of ships backed up a supply chain, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And they can't unload the ships because Gruesome Newsome doesn't want trucks more than 3 years old hauling freight. But, so there's that. But then we're not hearing as much about that. And the stores aren't terribly impeded at the moment. There are some, you know, empty shelves here and there, but that hasn't blown up right now. And then we have this potential impending invasion, you know, Red Dawn invasion of China,
right?
If you're following that story about the recording of the generals and all that,
right?
So there's that. So there's, but meanwhile, we have the very notable increased prices of gasoline and the food and that sort of thing. And that alone, you know, that alone would be, you know, sufficiently problematic to make things quite miserable. You don't need five different crises, five different. You know, irons in the fire all at once to make things miserable.
Yep.
But, anyway.
No, better but to anyway. Better to you know, focus people's attention on the one, and you know, not you know, keep their fear focused on the one episode at a time.
Yeah.
And maybe
yeah.
switch out episodes as they become worn out with one.
But meanwhile, I derive some solace from the concept of the confession of sins. And I like a confessionist, you know, start with myself and work my way out. You know, family, friends, community, state, you know, county, state, country, world. I just like to seek God's mercy for all of us. And I think if we could get, you know, in other words, fasting, praying, sackcloth and ashes, rending of garments, all that good stuff to just a genuine sense of repentance. And if that could be occur at the grassroots, you know, perhaps God might have mercy on us. We have to see.
Perhaps, but, which is where some say 2 Chronicles 7:14 comes into view.
Yeah. Yes, perhaps he might turn and leave a blessing behind him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, is that from Joel, where God is coming to judge? And repentance, you know, repentance occurs, and God stops and turns, and there's leave and leaves a blessing behind him.
Yeah.
Boy, I wish I had that mastered better as to where it is and who it is. But anyway,
yeah.
All right. Well, I guess I should go, Chris. But thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. Much appreciated.
Take care.
Bye-bye. As always. Yeah. Great discussion. There's a clip, speaking of the two things. So the clip, I think the operative quote Glenn mentioned, when what do all men with power want? More power. I think the quote is from The Matrix Reloaded, back in 2003. And there's a site called getyarn.io, yarn. It's yarn, but, you know, it's at getyarn.io that you can search phrases like that and find, you know, how many times that's been used. So speaking of what I said, you know, earlier, Barry Popick's entry on once this happens, stands twice as coincidence, third time as enemy action. That clip has been used many times, or that turn of phrase has been used many times, as you can see on the Yarn site over at getyarn.io. There are numerous entries from several movies. In the interest of time, can we play that clip real fast?
What do all men with power want? More power.
There you go. So, you know, Superman 3, 1983, House of Cards, 2013, Lost in Space, 1965, Fantastic Four movie, Batman Forever, 95, on and on the list goes. This turn of phrase has been used in one form or another. Anyway, in the interest of time, more calls back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, welcome. Thanks for calling, Mike.
Well, with my three-minute delay on the internet, by the time I'm like yelling at the computer, you know, Tori Spelling, but I think some other names you might be trying to think of is Glenn Larson, Battlestar Galactica, Buck Rogers, Quincy, Hardy Boys, The Fall Guy, Magnum P.I., and he collaborated with, I think, one of the guys that was the model producer for Wag the Dog, Donald P. Belisario. A lot of these producers and show creators and stuff, they always are seen in these, you know, dark glasses that shade their right. eyes, just like right. Dustin Hoffman was seen in Wag the Dog. And so
yeah.
I'm trying right. to tie that in with what you're talking about, how what we are seeing is a production.
Yeah.
You know, the news is what we say is the news. I'm trying to remember the CEO of, was it WTVT? I think it was a Fox News affiliate out of Miami Beach. They assigned these two reporters to look into the use of recombinant DNA bovine growth hormone to bump up milk production in cows, and they were told to re-edit the story, something silly, I forget, 20-some times or something. They finally said, look, this is what the truth is. We're not re-editing this story, and this head of the station or the group of stations said, look, we paid $5 billion for these TV stations. The news is what we tell you it is.
Yeah.
And, of course, they got fired and took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And the result of that was an opinion that said, just because you have a license from the government, there is no obligation from a media outlet to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Which that is taught in communication schools. An ex-professor of mine told me that he used to teach that whole story in his media ethics class or some communications elective. But, you know, he is about as far, that professor is pretty far to the left, pro-Zionist too. But, you know, you never know what you're going to run into on campus.
Yeah.
You can pretty much guarantee
that's what you're going to run into.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
I said, well, you can pretty much guarantee the majority of the time that's what you're going to run into. What a coincidence.
Well, yeah. But I didn't know about that story until way after I got out of school. But I just was going to drop those names down. Of course, you saw Juanita Bartlett on a lot of credits as basically a writer. She worked for a lot of those Stephen J. Cannell and others,
yeah.
You know.
There's one other guy I can't, for the life of me, I can't think of it. It's that's all good stuff. And, you know, speaking of that, Larry sent me the clip that Mark Crispin Miller posted. Scully and Mulder nailed it in 2016, a year before Dr. Fauci predicted the pandemic under Trump. And that was at Georgetown, I think, in 2017, early 2017. The X-Files foretold its use to cull the human race and crush America. And then, of course, the September 11 stuff is in view there as well. All of the, you know, no one, Bush saying, you know, I don't, and who else said it? No one would ever have imagine people flying planes into. Well, that's funny because.
Yeah, they had several exercises.
Yeah, and it was on television. And
they discovered Operation Bojinka in 1995 when these Philippine-directed Muslims were going to hijack several 747s and fly them into buildings on the West Coast. So they knew this was possible. And that was Operation Bojinka. But, God, man, there's a... I've studied a lot of that. So, yeah, there's a lot to unpack there on that, but...
Speaking of the folks involved, it reminds me that it's obviously such a much broader. We're talking about snowflake on the tip of the iceberg, but it reminds me of Jeanette Conant's book, The Irregulars. And, you know, all of those guys. I mean, you start looking into who's who in, you know, writing and producing and stuff, and you discover that, you know, Julia Child was Wild Bill Donovan's right-hand lady, and... Well, how did she end up, you know, on cooking shows, drinking wine and stuff like that? Anyway.
But you're talking about the call. I made somebody a part of a family vacation that I was on take a side trip, or I just proposed it. I said, let's go see the Georgia Guidestones, which is on the opposite side of South Carolina from where we were going to vacation, you know, North Myrtle Beach. So it took us several hours out of our way. We got there at the twilight of the morning. It was the spookiest thing, man. And since we were there, so, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, they've cut these little cubes into the top of the stones and put these numbered cubes in there, and nobody knows exactly what that means. There's coded numbers on there. But, of course, that's nobody really knows who put it up in 1979. It's, you know, thought there's lots of theories about who R.C. Christian was, but when it comes to calling people, I think they have to do a very careful, strategic takedown of America, unless they're going to sacrifice perhaps the eastern seaboard where most of the population is. If they want to preserve the breadbasket in California, San Joaquin Valley, they could perhaps pull some kind of electromagnetic pulse attack and/or a tsunami, fake tsunami attack on the eastern United States. But they're going to end up killing the Atlantic Ocean, probably, and a lot of Europe, because we have a de facto doomsday weapon of something crazy. I've heard estimates ranging from 188,000 to 288,000 tons of Fukushima sitting out there, and every reactor at 90 sites has fuel that's hot for something like 6 years that's able to catch fire if it goes into criticality, because the water goes, you know, boils away or evaporates off those rods. And so if there's too much chaos, you can imagine the generators require maintenance. People don't understand when they scram a reactor, it is still hot for 6 years until you remove those rods. You know, a lot of the reactors remove the rods early because their productivity or whatever, the efficiency, falls off after about 2 years. So that's why you always have at least 4 to 6 years of rods sitting there. They have to be cooled. They keep extending the permit.
We're out of time. We're out of time. Mike, much appreciated.
All right.
Fred, sorry we missed you. That'll do it for today's broadcast, folks. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.